And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Also go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Nothing. Just living the life. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just reveling in this outrage all over Twitter because the Florida Gators are ranked top 25 in the new AP poll.
Good for them, you know? Good for them. That's just another top 25 team we got to go against.
You know, that's, I understand the reason behind the polls, but even the college football playoff polls, the first ones that come out, they don't mean anything, so it's always interesting to me about like how fired up people get about these damn polls that they even acknowledge they don't mean anything, but then they, you know, get so damn mad when they see the actual list.
I agree. I mean, we all want to see lists. We want to see our team in the top 25. You know, so good for Florida, good for South Carolina being in the top 25. I think they were top 25 in both the coaches and the AP.
Mm-hmm.
But these lists, there's some things I don't like about them. I mean, you look at teams on there and you say, okay, is this team really a top 25 team in the country, you know? And we saw it like with the UCF thing claiming the national championship. I mean, really, if you were in the SEC, you'd be lucky to finish eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't buy into these polls.
Well, for anyone that didn't see it, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of a couple notes that I had from the AP poll. This is, of course, the Week 2 AP poll. The SEC led the way with seven teams. Alabama's number one, Georgia's number three, Auburn's number seven, LSU's number 11, number 18, Mississippi State, South Carolina, they're making their debut at 24, and as we noted, Florida's at number 25. No other conference had more than five, and the SEC had seven, so it kind of continues the big week the SEC had week one. They were obviously 13-1 overall. Now they got the most teams ranked. And one other note, LSU is the biggest jumper this week. They were previously number 25 all the way up to number 11. So it seems like a lot of people that were doubting your boy Coach O, they're kind of buying into the Tigers.
That's right. Who was it last week talking about that LSU? It's the first time he's ever been ranked. Now look at him. He's almost top 10. No, I'm just glad they're finally getting the respect they deserve. The defense looked really tough, and the offense, if they figure it out, man, they deserve that top 11 spot.
All right, Shane, so now that South Carolina's ranked, down in Columbia, we got a ranked matchup here for SEC Nation. This is you and I, the game of the week in the SEC. South Carolina is welcoming Georgia. And Will Muschamp met with the media for the first time this week, and he was just kind of talking about, obviously, the big game. So I thought this was a pretty funny comment here on Georgia's depth chart. I guess they forgot to send it to old Columbia, send it to old Will Muschamp. So here's Will Muschamp talking about that.
I would go over their depth chart and all, but they didn't send us one. So I guess I can cover it if you guys ask me questions.
Yeah, he was a little sarcastic, wasn't he?
Yeah, I guess Kirby Smart and them, just they got to keep their secrets, even though, you know, but they've already got a damn game on film. But I guess they're still holding that depth chart. And, you know, Georgia did not release their depth chart for Austin Peay until about 30 minutes before that game. So they didn't want to even give Austin Peay anything.
Now, is this like a courtesy thing, or is this something you're required to do?
I guess it's just a courtesy if they're – I mean, they're required to do it prior to the game, but most people do it on Monday. I don't know what is the point because, you know, in reality, everybody at South Carolina knows who's going to play at Georgia and vice versa. So,
yeah,
I don't know. And these don't have to be accurate by any means. That's why you saw Tennessee and West Virginia have that battle of the oars leading up to their game. it just is just nonsensical to me to just kind of hide this information. But I guess it's just pettiness more than anything.
I agree. I think it benefits you, you know, week one. But after that, what's the point? We got plenty of film.
So aside from moving on from the faux depth chart that Will Muschamp never received, he did have some good comments here of Jake Fromm, just kind of his thoughts on facing Georgia's passer for the second straight year.
I don't know that Jake totally gets the credit he deserves. You know, I watched the guy in the college football playoff against Oklahoma, you know, made some big-time throws in that game, some longer throws down the field out, the field corner, the digs across the middle, the high-low concepts. I mean, and then against Alabama in the championship game, put them in a position to win the game. So he's very accurate with the football and speaks for itself what he did as a true freshman.
All right, Shane. So Jake Fromm, he's already 1-0 in this series. He had a big game against South Carolina. And if I recall, I think this South Carolina team was one of the ones calling Jake Fromm out last year, saying, you know, all he does is slant passes and whatnot. Jake Fromm had a nice game against the Gamecocks, and it seems like Will Muschamp's clamping down any disrespect on Fromm this year. What did you think of his comments on the Georgia quarterback?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what was the score of that game last year?
Last year, Georgia won 24-10.
Well, see, that was a little closer than I thought. But, yeah, I mean, once you get – it's one thing to talk trash to them, but once you get beat by them, then you kind of need to, you know, maybe we don't talk trash, you know. We'll keep our mouths shut. So I think that's kind of the approach they're taking this year.
And that was not the only player that Will Muschamp was kind of talking up. He had some pretty particular high praise of DeAndre Baker, Georgia's outstanding cornerback, who is going to be faced with Deebo Samuel, probably going one-on-one on him all day. So here's Will Muschamp on DeAndre Baker.
Do you get the sense a guy like Deebo wants to play these type of guys and measure himself in that way? Do you
Absolutely.
Think he'll be sort of rise to the occasion?
I'm sure Bake wants to play him. You know, I think that works both ways. I mean, I think that, you know, the good players I've been around, it didn't matter who lined up across from, let's go play. You know, I'm going to play against the best guys. And that's I'm sure that's being seen both ways.
All right, Shane, so we kind of touched on it on a previous episode, Deebo Samuel having a matchup advantage about anyone on the Georgia roster. Will Muschamp's kind of touting up this matchup between Deebo and Baker. Who do you give the edge to here?
Well, you know, we got a little heat on the old Twitter today about this comment, you know, because I really do. I think Debo's a hell of an athlete. You know, he's an X factor for South Carolina, and he's tough to contain. Now, you know, Georgia's got a hell of a defense, and I think, you know, we're not talking about Team A against Team B. We're talking about one individual against another individual, and I'd put my money on Deebo all day long just because I've seen it in action. That guy has won games by himself, so not saying that Georgia defensive backs aren't great. I think Baker can, you know, match up with just about anybody, but to say he's going to just shut down Deebo, you know, we didn't get the luxury of seeing that last year because of his injuries, but we will today or Saturday.
Yeah, and speaking of Deebo, he met with the media as well today, and he just kind of fielded a number of questions about this game. And, you know, he didn't have a ton of very interesting things to say, and he was not the only one. Of Jake Bentley and a number of the defensive players, I think these South Carolina players have been told to not say anything inflammatory about Georgia for motivational purposes. It was pretty obvious if you go listen to some of the press conferences today. I mean, they didn't have much of anything to say, but so we kind of pulled the best clip here from Deebo, and this is just more on just how important this Georgia game is to South Carolina and their fan base.
What's your earliest memory of this rivalry?
Really my freshman year, the year I redshirted, I remember how loud it was, and I remember the ground was shaking. That's how I knew that Georgia was a rivalry for us.
All right, Shane, Deebo says the ground was shaking. I expect that to happen once again here in Williams-Brice this coming week, wouldn't you say?
Dude, this game is going to be electric. I mean, that stadium can get loud and will be loud. So as long as South Carolina stays in this game, you know, that's the last thing you want is these fans to you know, get involved, because they really can make it hard on any team that goes inside there.
Yeah, and we found an interesting note today on this game. This is courtesy of Brandon Zimmerman of the SEC Network. He tweeted out a couple of stats here that were they're pretty interesting on the South Carolina-Georgia rivalry. But for those that don't know, the Gamecocks have beaten Georgia 3 out of the last 4 in Columbia. Georgia's only win came in 2016, and that was a game delayed by Hurricane Matthew. South Carolina has also beaten Georgia 3 out of the last 4 times they've met the second week of the season. So those stats are certainly promising in South Carolina's favor.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, man. I mean, South Carolina, say what you want, at home has owned the series the last 4, like you said, the 3 out of the last 4 times they met. But don't forget, this is a whole new ball club, you know. This is a team that competed for a national championship, and I think, in my opinion, got better. So South Carolina is going to have their hands full. But like I said, I don't know, man. This new South Carolina offense, Bentley, all the weapons they have. Georgia has got, I think they got the fastest people in the league on both sides of the ball. So I just think it's going to be an exciting game. And I'm glad that I've had this game circled for like months now. This is the one I want to see, and I'm going to be all tuned in.
And going to the other side from Athens, we don't have a big note here, but this comes courtesy of Brandon Sudge of the Macon Telegraph there in Georgia. According to Brandon, there's 48 copies of Torrey Gurley's guarantee that South Carolina is going to win this game. And obviously, Torrey Gurley, the former South Carolina Gamecock, made that prediction on SEC Network on Paul Feinbaum's show. And I just now see on this, but Torrey Gurley has actually replied to it and said, just 48? That's too low for a rivalry game.
I love it.
So, well, yeah.
I mean, you know, these players, I don't know if Muschamp had a little team meeting and said, don't you say a damn word, because you saw what happened when Louisville started chirping. Alabama hung like 50 points on them. So I think this was what – it's just so quiet, you know. The only one really talking is Muschamp, and he ain't giving much. I think they don't want to give the Georgia Bulldogs any ammunition, you know. That's what it kind of comes across to me.
Let's jump to – we're going to go to Clemson because, of course, the Tigers are playing Texas A&M. That's another big game in the SEC this week. College Game Day is going to be down in College Station for this game. And Dabo had his weekly presser today, and he kind of went on at length just about how impressed he was with the Aggies and their opener and Jimbo Fisher. So we're going to play a couple comments here from Dabo.
We got a big challenge this week, for sure. Huge challenge. This is like another opener. You know, we just don't know a lot about Texas A&M. You know, unfortunately, this is, I think the unknown is a competitive advantage for them. Hopefully, our experience can be a competitive advantage for us. You know, but this is a difficult game to prepare for us, for sure, because, you know, I'm watching Notre Dame and Florida State and Wake Forest and, you know, all these different schools, but yet you're not really, you don't have much to watch the actual people. So we don't have a lot of video evidence against these guys. So it truly is like another opener. Defensively, they're stout. I mean, they got some big dudes up front. At number 34 he's a earth mover. You know, 8's a very good player. 46 led the SEC in sacks last year. Very good in the secondary. I think their safeties are as good as we're probably going to see. These are really, really talented players at safety. I'd say all 4 of their starters in the secondary are probably going to play in the NFL.
All right, Chase. So Dabo is pretty high on Jimbo Fisher's squad. They're loaded with NFL. He's got an NFL team there in College Station, according to Dabo.
Yeah, here we go again. Let's pump up the other team, you know. Nobody's got more NFL players in the ACC than Dabo does, you know. So,
yeah, and that's Jimbo part of the reason why Jimbo left.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, Dabo knows what he has, but don't get me wrong, Texas A&M looked good, you know, but this is a real test, and I think they're a little above. I mean, are they ranked? They're not ranked, are they? Top 25?
No, Texas A&M is just outside. They're one of those receiving votes teams.
Well, they won't receive any next week, I don't think.
So you don't think it's possible that, let's say Texas A&M, you know, keeps this one tight and Clemson has to maybe make a comeback or barely hang on. You don't you don't believe in a team like that kind of gaining more respect and jumping into the polls?
Well, shit, yeah, but, I mean, we're talking Clemson here, and nobody wants Clemson to lose more than me. I can't stand that team. So I'm pulling for Texas A&M to win this game. I just think that it's, you know, I think they're still a couple years out before they're competing against these, you know, national powerhouses like Clemson. So, but, yeah, if it's close, then, yeah, for sure. I mean, they have nothing to lose this game, Texas A&M does. You know, I mean, as long as it's not a 60 to 10 point game, you know, if he can keep it close, then yeah, no, that's something to hang your hat on. So
I was kind of expecting you to say 40 to 14.
40 to 14. Shut it, Mike. Come on, man. I just got off. I didn't say anything about it today. And here you are bringing it back up, digging up bones.
All right. Some more big news, though, in the SEC this week. Or excuse me, on this day, because Ed Orgeron had his presser today.
Go Tigers.
And unfortunately, it's bad news for the Tigers.
One of the things that didn't go right in the game was we lost Kelavon Chasson for the year. He will be out for the year. And I just met with Kelavon and talked to his grandmother. I feel bad for him. He's a great young man. He had totally dedicated himself to this year. And but he's going to get through this. This is going to pass for him, and he'll have a great career down the road. I know his teammates are very sad that he is going to be out the rest of the year, but we're going to have to step up, and guys will step up at that position.
And this is huge news for the Tigers, because this guy was expected to kind of be their leading sack artist and their next Arden Key-type player. Thoughts on LSU losing a guy of this caliber?
Well, I didn't want to stop you because you were going so good there, but I have to ask. Game day picked Notre Dame and Michigan, and now they're picking Texas A&M and Clemson. I think they're 0-2, man. I think they should have went Auburn last week, and I think they should be up there in South Carolina this week. I just think that it's going to be more of a ball game, but that's all I got on that. Okay, now I'm ready to move on, and it is sad because this guy – you know, he was going to be such a huge piece of that defense this year. And, you know, you were talking earlier that they were even thinking that he may lead the nation in sacks by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, this is – so you take somebody like that off your defense, it's definitely going to affect how you play ball. So it's sad, sad news.
Yeah, fortunately for them, they do have some time before they hit that Auburn game week three. They're playing Southeast Louisiana, so it's not like they need them for this one. But I think this game will definitely be somewhat of a, you know, an experimental matchup where they try to figure out who that next man up will be. But yeah, this is a tough blow. That LSU defense looks so dominant, and Chaseon was a big part of it in that opener against Miami.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not all the LSU news that came out today, because their new quarterback, Joe Burrow, who Tiger fans don't know a whole lot about because he's not had much media availability. He was able to speak for the media after that Miami game. He spoke with the Baton Rouge media today, and he didn't reveal anything about the, you know, anything too interesting about the game, but he does have some weird rituals. We're going to play you this clip from Joe Burrow.
So I eat a caramel apple sucker before every game on the bus, and then I always wear one sock inside out and the other one right side in. So those are the two kind of weird things that I do.
Where'd that come from?
I really like caramel apple suckers, and one time one of my socks was inside out and the other one was right side in. I forgot about it, I put it on, and just kind of became a thing for me.
All right, Shane, what's going on here with Joe Burrow?
Oh, what an odd bird, huh? He even looks kind of creepy. He looks like he reminds me of like, you remember when Macaulay Culkin, like, had that trouble transforming from a kid to an adult, and he had that dark hair? He kind of looks like that, you know? and here he's got these sock rituals, which I completely understand. He said, the interesting thing about the sock is he put them on, and then he noticed later when he put them on the right way that it felt different. And, you know, I've heard people wear the same socks if they won or something like that. I've never heard them do something weird like this just because it felt different, you know? So yeah, he's an odd bird, man.
Hey, whatever works, though, I guess, you know.
Hey, he's 1-0, man. So if he want to wear them socks inside out, that's fine with me. I'm sure it's fine with every LSU fan down there.
All right, sticking in the SEC West, let's jump down to Auburn.
War damn Eagle.
Where Gus Malzahn met with the media on Tuesday, and he had some good news for Tiger fans because their receivers that tore their ACLs in the spring, Eli Stove and Will Hastings, they have been cleared for practice. So here's Malzahn on the return of his two targets here.
Eli Stove and Will Hastings both have been cleared to practice as far as full practice, and we'll see where that goes. You know, with how confident, you know, they are and we are as far as when that happens or return. I'm not sitting there saying anytime in the next, you know, week or two or whatever. We're just going to see how that goes. But I think that's a positive that they've been cleared to practice, you know, fully.
All right, Shane, so two guys back for practice, not yet cleared to return, though. I mean, I was kind of doubtful these guys even had a chance of playing this year, and it sounds like they're on the right track to do just that.
How crazy, man. You tear your ACL out in the spring, and like 5 months later, you're clear. You're going to be playing again, you know? I'm telling you, man, technology is getting crazy. 10 years from now, you can tear an ACL, and you're out like 2 weeks, you know? I think I think that's the way the medical stuff's going right now. So, no, good for them, man. You talk about some weapons, and Stidham needs them, you know? He had a good rapport with Hastings last year, and, you know, I think he felt comfortable with him. So I think this is only going to help this team grow for sure.
Yeah. And in that opener, you know, they had, because Will Hastings is out, they had Sam Cannella, who he made that first big touchdown grab, a flipping giant up in the air with his giant hair. So it sounds like they have some replacements already lined up, but you know, you get these two guys back in the lineup, that would be huge for Auburn. Because it looked like the ground game was not working too well. Their offensive line really struggled against Washington. The Gus Malzahn also talked about his starting running back, Cam Martin, and just kind of, you know, he didn't have the greatest day. I think he had like 60 yards on 20 carries or something like that. But Gus Malzahn did have some good comments for Cam Martin and what he brings in that running back room. So let's play this.
Yeah, you know, Cam Martin, what you have is a veteran. And, you know, Cam Martin, you know, he had pressed the line of scrimmage and cut back. He knows all the little things. He made a couple things bounce the outside, and then the big fourth down and one run I thought was really good too. And, you know, he's a veteran guy, and he gives you kind of a calming, you know, experience out there when he's out there. And but I thought he did a really good job running, and he did a really good job protecting the football.
All right, Shane, so this is a guy we've been kind of talking up for a couple weeks here, Cam Martin. He's definitely the number one option right now for the Tigers. What was your main takeaway when you heard Gus Malzahn talking him up here?
Just how confident he is in him, you know. I think, you know, sometimes when you get a new running back there, you worry. You worry about ball security. You worry about them making bad mistakes. And it sounds like Cam did just exactly what he wanted him to do. You know, he didn't want him to be the star. He wanted him just to be productive, and that's what he's got back there. So, you know, I don't rule these younger guys out. I still think we got a little bit of a committee down there, and wouldn't be surprised if you see more of a change toward later in the year.
All right, Shane, and other news out of Auburn. I mean, I thought this was pretty intense, but old Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator, the team published a video of Kevin Steele's pregame speech to his defense, and my God, this guy, he got pretty intense here in a hurry. So we're going to play the audio from this clip. I wish we could show the video in this format, but the video the audio itself is pretty intense. All right, Shane, does that get you fired up for some football or what?
Yeah, man. Steele's, man. Well, he was on a short list for a lot of head coaching positions last year. He's intense, man. If that don't get you fired up for football, nothing will. I love the video. If you have a chance, Mike retweeted it yesterday. You should go up there and take a look at it. There is one questionable video I had in it, though. Like, everything was going good, and then at the very end, he throws a gas can. Did you see that? So I kept waiting for to see what that was all about, but apparently it's just he's just throwing a gas can. So, but no, pretty good video. Hey, let me ask you, going back to Hastings and them real quick. Mm-hmm. The schedule. What is their schedule next four games?
Well, fortunately for Auburn, they're all at home, so that's a break. They get Alabama State this week, obviously a cupcake. Then they got two SEC games lined up. They host LSU, which will be a big game, Arkansas, and then the following game is Southern Miss. And again, those are all at home.
Well, that's good. I think they'll be able to handle it as long as they get who they got after that week.
Well, then it gets a little bit trickier. They go to Mississippi State. That could be a big-time game.
Yeah.
They come home for Tennessee, and then they travel to Ole Miss. So those Mississippi schools in particular, they may need to score a lot of points to win those games.
Yeah, hopefully those boys will be ready, you know, by the time – because that's – you know, LSU game, obviously they're not going to be back before that. I don't think so. But, you know, if they can get them back before that Mississippi State Ole Miss run, Tennessee. Unfortunately, they'll probably have them there. You know, they should be pretty good shape, man.
All right, Shane. The only other note that I have today is it's kind of a little bit of a slow news day today, but Tennessee running back Trey Coleman, sophomore out of Louisiana. Apparently, he has left the team. He's up and quit and walked out. And it's pretty bizarre. A player does this after the first week of the season, but. Sounds like he was not a fit there with Jeremy Pruitt and the new staff.
You hate to lose anybody, you know, but he was, I think, fourth on the depth chart, sophomore. I mean, I don't blame him. In fact, it's kind of crazy when you look at some of these teams, how many are transfers. You know, these guys got 4 years to leave their legacy, and who wants to do it? I mean, it's one thing if you're just a diehard Tennessee fan or a diehard Alabama fan and you wanted to get a degree at the university, you know, that some of these kids, that this is the last time they get to play football and they want to play. They don't want to sit on the sidelines. So I don't blame him for doing this.
Well, I agree and disagree there because I am not one who thinks that these guys, you know, shouldn't have the right to transfer. I was definitely glad when the SEC, you know, as allowed to have graduate transfers come within the league. And I'm glad that the college NCAA is kind of opening the doors a little bit to make it easier for these transfers. But I just don't understand these guys leaving in the middle of the season because, like, let's just take Coleman, for instance. He's not eligible to go play anywhere right now. He has to sit out the year. So unless he goes down to a lower level, and I don't even know if he would be able to do that now, because, you know, even those schools, their seasons have already begun. So if he's not going to be playing because he transferred, and he's not going to be playing if he's on the Tennessee roster, like, why not stick it out for the season? You never know. Tennessee may become devastated at running back, and he may be, you know, he's probably not going to become the starter, but you just never know. I mean, players develop, players progress, and I don't know. It always strikes me as odd as when these guys leave in the middle of the season. You know, I think it's a completely different story at the end of the season or maybe even leading up to the season. But just once it started, I just don't see the benefit to them to leaving because they're not going to be playing if they leave. So might as well stick it out and maybe something good will happen.
No, that's a good point. And when I say transfer, I typically mean at the end of the year, you know, not midway. You've made it through practice. You've got this far. And honestly, take the time to practice. I mean, you could get a red shirt, you know, if he's not playing. Stay in the conditioning, the food, because, I at the University of Tennessee, whoever he's transferring, I guarantee it's not going to be a top-tier school. I'm not saying Tennessee's a top-tier, but as far as their conditioning and their workout protocols and things like that, he's not going to have a better opportunity to start somewhere else and have the same, like, off-field experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's not even to mention academics. I mean, obviously, classes have already started at Tennessee, so whatever classes Coleman is in here, you know, he's just walking away from them. I if, you know, if I could advise him, I would just tell him to at least finish out the academic semester. And, you know, that just gets you that much closer to graduating. And
yeah,
it just makes it easier wherever you're going to go next to get that degree that, you know, will further your life.
And it costs money to transfer, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in this little 5-year window. You know, I learned a lot watching Last Chance U. You know, it costs money to go to different universities. And this isn't money that somebody's going to pay for you. This is something you're going to have to pay out of your pocket later down. So, yeah, might as well get some credits and stuff and get the, you know, just soak up the experience and the workouts and stuff like that. And then when, you know, fall's over, then you can transfer. So, yeah, I'm not big on midseason. I think you're giving up on your team, kind of giving up on yourself, in my opinion. But at the end, if you want to transfer to a different school so that you can get some on-field experience, I completely understand that.
All right, Shane, that was the last note I have. You got anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, buddy. I appreciate everybody taking the time to retweet the previews. One of them got a little squirrely with the Georgia fans. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's hard to please all 14 teams. You know, the truth is we're going to find out exactly who's the better player Saturday. But I do appreciate everybody taking the time to do that rate and review on iTunes. In fact, I've got one here. This was from Brett. And Brett, I wasn't following you. Then I saw your retweet and I jumped on there and I gave you a follow back, and I appreciate it. I like to follow all my listeners, all our listeners here. But this one's titled "The Georgia Dog Loves His Podcast." Mike and Shane do a fantastic job, and they are transparent and real. Two great qualities this day and time in media. I know Shane is a huge Vols fan, and I haven't identified who Mike supports. I guarantee it ain't the Vols. But as a lifelong UGA fan and a guy who remembers 9 losses in a row to UT, Shane's passion is awesome. Keep it up, guys, and I hope you follow me back if you haven't already done so. And I have, brother, and I appreciate you taking the time to give us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate every single person that does that, for sure.
Absolutely. And when he does the previews on Twitter, if you want to ask a question underneath that, like, hey, ask this question, by all means, send it. We don't get a lot of mailbag questions. I'm surprised as many listeners we have, we don't have more mailbag, but we'd definitely like to take the time to answer those if you want to send them our way.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me as always. Thanks for everyone out there listening. If you made it this far, if you wouldn't mind going to iTunes, giving us a 5-star heart or rate and review, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Go Vols.
We're going to play a couple comments here from Dabo. How much of this did you watch? Do you know?
I watched a little bit of it. Not much.
It was funny. He just did it for a couple minutes, but I watched the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And like 15 minutes into it, he's talking about this damn virtual reality machine they got. And he's like, my God, you can put that thing on and pretend you're on the line. And then he's like, and you can switch the settings and pretend you're a hockey goalie and the puck's coming at you. And it's like him trying to explain virtual reality. It's
maybe you should add that.
you can go there, literally. And you put these virtual things on and it's literally like you're standing there. And it's not like you're watching a video of game day. You're literally there, and you're turning around, and you see me, and you see the crowd, and you know it's like it's the craziest thing. Our quarterbacks use it from a 7-on-7. Your running backs can use it. A linebacker can use it. Safeties, it's great for safeties, and it's really hard to describe, but it's not like you're watching a video. It's like you're literally there. So it's a pretty cool thing. I put it on because I didn't understand it. You know, my mind doesn't work that way, and I got to see it, and I couldn't understand what it was. And then when I put it on, and I'm like, wow. I mean, it's literally like you're there, and you can have some fun with it too. You know, you can be a goalie in a hockey rink, and here comes the puck at you, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's live.